As we go into 5G, the capex which is being pumped into rollout of 5G is extensive, but the revenues which are accruing are not in the same graph. And therefore, there is a slag between the two. And this is telling very hard on the finances of the telcos. Government had come out with a consultation paper, and they were supposed to have an open house discussion. Because of certain pressures from some quarters, that consultation has been postponed. And once that comes up, shortly we'll express a point of view. OTT will express their point of view. Going even further into future, I see hydrogen cells coming effectively into telecom usage also very soon. They are being primarily propagated for cars. They will use hydrogen. They first break up the air, break up the water, use hydrogen and reinsert it into the atmosphere as water vapor.
Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors and businesses and professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as their mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating, and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasy, and of course, the little joys of life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, Spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Lieutenant General Dr. S.P. Kochhar, Director General, Cellular Operators Association of India. A decorated military veteran, he retired as Signal Officer in Chief, the head of the ICT wing of the Indian Army, where he was responsible for planning and executing and operating all telecom and IT networks of the Indian Army. He was the first CEO of the Telecom Sector Skill Council, TSSC, and served there prior to joining COAI. He holds a PhD, M.Tech, 2 MPhils, and has been a member of the Executive Council of the National Board of Accreditation, Jamia Millia Islamia, and on the Academic Councils of IGNU, WellTech, and others. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, General Kochhar. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So to begin with, the hottest topic, of course, is the COAI's proposal that OTT communication services pay network users charge to the concerned TSP in a fair and equitable manner. Can you elaborate this for us? What's the purpose behind this, suggesting this move, and what is it likely to achieve?
Okay, that's a good question. Now, we must understand the background. Now, as we go into 5G, the capex which is being pumped into rollout of 5G is extensive. But the revenues which are accruing are not in the same graph. And therefore, there is a slag between the two. And this is telling very hard on the finances of the telcos. However, we are committed. We have seen long-term benefit in rolling out 5G. And we are committed to taking it to every nook and corner of the country for the benefit of the citizens. We also realize that OTT is a growing field, and OTT is a field which is going to have a lot of value for our citizens. However, without telecom networks, OTT cannot reach the citizens. And therefore, it is necessary that we go hand in hand. OTT has not been contributing to the horse that they are riding on. They are riding on the telecom horse, the telecom networks. Let me draw an analogy. A building with a ground floor as a parking slot, first floor as a private lending library, and a second floor if somebody is occupying. Now, to get back the money that we have spent on the land and the building cost. One of the things that we do is, all right, when you come and park in the basement or in the stilt area, we're going to charge you 10 rupees per vehicle to be parked. But we will charge you only for the cars, and we will not charge you anything for the scooters and cycles, because those belong to a segment we don't want to tax. Okay. And with that 10 rupees ticket, you have a free access to our library on the first floor, basic amenities. But if you want more, you have to pay more. Now here comes a foreigner and says, listen, I can get you a lot of value. And we get sucked into that. And we say, okay, you sit on the first, second floor, and you do your business and pay us. And he goes and sits there. And he starts aggregating a lot of business from smaller players, and then he starts selling that out physically, digitally. And when you go back to him and tell him, pay us now. Mm-hmm. We're still maintaining the building. We are paying for electricity and water. We have to pay the municipal taxes. He says, listen, there are so many people coming to visit me, and they park their cars in your stilt area, and they give you 10 rupees per car. That is mm-hmm. sufficient for you. Why should I pay you? So this is what OTT is doing.
You know, just to paraphrase, what you're saying is that OTT platforms probably are taking a free ride on DSP-funded networks without contributing to the setting up, operation, or the maintenance of this, and without also offer expansion of networks through the USOF. Have you sat across with the OTT platforms across the table and discussed this?
We are in the process of a two-fold strategy. The first strategy is we should get the government to principally agree that this has to happen. Thereafter are the nitty-gritties, and that nitty-gritties will involve OTT and us sitting together. We will be working under bounds, and the bound, the term of reference will be this has to happen. Now, whether we do it ourselves or we ask the government to lay down rates is something that we have to decide as businesses, as equal partners. So we are waiting for the government to give a nod that, yes, this is an envelope in which you will work, much like what has happened in South Korea, much like what is now happening in EU. We are also following the same track.
And what is the, how has the government responded to it?
Government had come out with a consultation paper, and they were supposed to have an open house discussion. Because of certain pressures from some quarters, that consultation has been postponed. And once that comes up, shortly we'll express a point of view. OTT will express their point of view.
You'll have to meet somewhere midway, isn't it? Because OTTs cannot run without you. And they, on the other hand, OTTs are absolutely critical for the kind of value-added services that bring. So the kind of vast that OTTs bring onto the table is also very critical for the telecom networks, because we have moved far, far ahead from voice. When do you see that midpoint coming through?
That's exactly the point I'm making. I agree with you 100% that OTTs have value, and that value is going to grow. It is not going to diminish. And the killer app also, which we've been talking about for 5G, that killer app will come on OTTs. But if that killer app comes on OTT, who's going to benefit? OTTs, not the telecom networks. And we are the ones who are crying horse that a killer app will come. Where is it? Right. And when will it come? And how will it benefit us? So if we delve deep, OTTs have to contribute. The question is, your question as to how will it happen? If somebody is used to taking a free ride, and you tell him voluntarily to start paying taxes, will he do it? He won't. If there is an envelope or if there is a diktat from the government, listen, you have to pay. We are not going to tell you how much you have to pay. Sit down and decide among yourselves. If you can't, then we will dictate. That is the scenario we are looking at.
You know, let's change tack a bit. The rollout of the 5G and the run-up to the rollout, of course, was a big... There was heightened expectation and also anticipation, both from consumers as well as from DSPs. And we India witnessed the launch of 5G services last year around this time. How has been the experience so far? How do you see the rollout has been? And, you know, what has been the consumer experience? Has it lived up to expectations?
So two parts to your question. One is, how has been the rollout? And the second is the consumer experience. So let me take the first one. Rollout has been fantastic, because it has been the fastest in the world. It couldn't have been better. And we are seeing both standalone as well as non-standalone 5G being rolled out and working in conjunction with 4G. So that, in a nutshell, is the best we could have done, right? As far as the consumer experience is concerned, there has been an euphoria. A new technology has come. Let us experience it. But my point is that we have reached a zenith of speed which a consumer can consume, individual consumer can consume. Whether he downloads at 5 or he downloads at 10x, doesn't matter to him after a time. What matters to him is how much can he consume after downloading. So if his brain can consume only 1x, whether he downloads at 5x or 10x doesn't matter. So speed has reached its zenith. Okay, latency has reached its zenith in 5G. It's not going to go beyond that. You keep increasing your speed and you think people will buy your product because of speed, we are wrong. The people who are going to buy the product because of speed and latency are the enterprises.
Right.
The machines.
Right.
Those are the ones which will come in. They have yet to make an appearance in India at the scale that we desire. So therefore, the monetization of these networks will take time. Having said that, I won't say there are no applications. There are applications coming up in bits and pieces. But to say that there are applications are galore, no. That will happen. It will happen after some time.
So Indian telecom sector is probably at a point of inflection. And there have been various pivot moments. If you go back to the mid-90s when the first telecom came, when the first mobile phone came, and now when we are in the probably at the end of the first quarter of this century, what's the next stage for Indian telecom service providers, which you represent?
Okay, now let's go back in time from the time period that you mentioned. 1G, what happened in 1G? The phone became wireless. That's about all. Great euphoria that time also. We went to 2G. We came up with handsets which we could carry. So the communication became mobile. Come 3G. We came into smartphones, and that means the internet got integrated with us. And 4G was an exploitation of the smartphone. Coming to 5G, the network has become a service. So a consumer wants a service, the network will produce it. Earlier it was, network will give you these services, utilize it the best you can. 5G, the consumer will dictate, I want this, and networks will produce what they want. Going further, 6G means the human being itself will become part of the network. But all this means that the bandwidth which is to be carried on networks will increase exponentially.
Right.
The data which is to be carried, stored, which has to be processed, will become exponential. And therefore, the strain on networks, the strain on data centers will become humongously more than what we know it today. But the good part is they'll all become transparent to the user. User won't have to think whether there's a network behind this entire thing. They will only be concerned with the services that they're getting. So it is the user who's the king. He'll get services of whatever he desires. Imagination will be the limit.
Absolutely. Now you talk about the pressure on the bandwidth and also in the infrastructure. Now we have about less than a million towers now, about 7.5 lakh towers, providing all kinds of services, right from 2G to 5G. And they are serving approximately slightly more than 1.2 billion customers. Now, ensuring availability, and the key to this is that you have to ensure 24/7 power availability. Most of them run on diesel generators, which energy costs alone account for about a quarter of the total cost, about 25%. How do we address this challenge?
Very simple. Three or four points which we've been making to the government. Make energy available 24/7. Make it available to us at industrial rates. We are an industry. Why are we being treated like at commercial rates? Then we have to do things on our own. We have to bring in green energy. And we have started bringing in green energy, and there was a problem that we were not getting the benefits of aggregation, which the Ministry of Power was giving to others. So that the government has seen light to that, and they have said now you can be aggregated. A set of geographically placed towers can be aggregated and built accordingly. So that brings us the benefit of aggregation, green open access. And then we want to do metering at a country level. right? Rather than giving 1 meter per site, give us a consolidated metering. That will help us. That will help save energy also. This is futuristic. What we are looking at is things like windmills producing power. Why only solar panels? There are many parts of the country where solar panels will not work.
That's right.
So we can use windmills. And what is now emerging is we can use wind kites. The kites have been used experimentally in Europe, where they produce not only energy, they can also be a prime mover for as big a thing as a ship. So they have power also. So kites can produce, they can run huge turbines and produce adequate energy, which can go back into net for net metering and provide us energy where we require it. This is what. Going even further into future, I see hydrogen cells coming effectively into telecom usage also very soon. They are being primarily propagated for cars. They will use hydrogen. They first break up the air, break up the water, use hydrogen and reinsert it into the atmosphere as water vapor. So that is something I see happening in telecom also, because we are static. Car is more difficult to do because car is mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But our cars are static. Why can't we use hydrogen cells? These are some of the things that we can do. And we are looking at it very seriously.
You know, the DoT has introduced the Indian Telegraph Right-of-Way Amendment Rules 2023. And among other things, it also it enables central authorities to permit deployment of small cells without any fee or compensation. A bit of other things, street furniture definition has been added, etc. How has it helped the cause, and do you think something's probably it to be addressed even more?
It's a very welcome move. The draft telecom bill has been seen by us. We've commented on it. It's gone back to the government as and when it comes. Hopefully, it will address many of the problems, but some problem will remain. Well, that is the federal nature of the Indian state, which will come in the way, and people have to find ways of circumventing that. Now, things which lie in the state jurisdiction cannot be dictated on by the central government, and that is what is happening today also. The ROW rules, which have been promulgated by the central government, do not get obeyed by the states, and even if the states agree to that, it doesn't get obeyed by the municipalities. Prime example, the central government rule says 10,000 rupees per kilometer are your charges for laying fiber. We are paying up to 1 crore in municipalities, because the municipalities don't budge. They say they don't apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, government has taken action and they want to make it into a law, but it will be a long drawn out procedure, because a law which straddles the central jurisdiction and the state jurisdiction will have to go to each state assembly also for ratification. So that is going to take a lot of time. In the meantime, this automation of the systems has helped. It has reduced the time when earlier we were taking a huge amount of, colossal amount of time to get files cleared, getting permissions. At least that has reduced considerably. Not all states have followed whatever the government of India is saying, but most of them have. And slowly they will fall in line. And once all this gets integrated, and it is happening, it is not now imagination, it has actually started happening, that all these systems are getting integrated and reporting to a central database. So then things are improving in that direction. As far as small cells, etc. are concerned, government is a concern, more concern is of public.
Mm.
Right? When we go with towers, people tell us, I don't want towers in my society. Why? Oh, somebody said on the TV that it can cause cancer. I said, the doctors have clearly said, scientists have said, the ministry himself has said it doesn't. They said, no, we don't want to take a chance. So don't put it in our compound, put it in the next compound. But we want the best of services. How can you get both? You don't have a tower. You're not permitting us to put a tower in your compound. And you want the best of services without any justification, medically or scientific, that will harm you. If there is a justification, it applies equally to us. I'm asking a very simple question. You have seen sparrows.
Mm-hmm.
Go and nest on towers.
Right.
Nothing happens to them. Mm. So where is the cancer? So these are all canards which are being spread by people who have, something else to gain. And I won't say what, but even courts have commented on some activists saying that this is your personal agenda that you are driving through courts. And they fine those activists.
So they, you mean to say, just to paraphrase and understand, you mean to say that there are certain vested interests that are running against the interest of the telecom industry, which in effect is affecting the consumers?
I won't go to that extent that they're running against the telecom interest. They are only trying to promote their own interests. Telecom just happens to be one of the platforms where they will get publicity. So this is one reason. Okay, there of course will be some competitors who don't want telecom to flourish. They will be minuscule. The majority of the people who are there are wanting publicity at the cost of telecom.
They're hunting headlines, and of course, they have probably have been a little successful there on that front. But I wanted to ask you one last question, or two rather. What are the regulatory gaps that still need to be addressed, both from policy point of view as also from a legislative point of view, for the Indian telecom industry, if you may call it Telecom 3.0, for India to flourish?
Okay, that is a very thought-provoking question. One, of course, remains a demand for making telecom affordable for the operators who are going to roll it out.
Right.
And with newer technologies coming in, it is necessary that the spectrum cost should reduce, because the bulk of our costing goes into spectrum.
So that's an entry barrier?
There is an entry barrier. There is a minimum fee which is subscribed. You cannot bid less than this. So it's a free market and not a free market, whichever way you look at it. But the point is, with COVID, we have seen that telecom is a necessity. Mm-hmm. It is no longer a luxury. So therefore, government should look at it that way, like water and electricity, and they should reduce the cost of spectrum and ensure that the entire country gets flooded with networks. And the amount of money they will run because of verticals which will grow on telecom will far surpass the amount of money that they can get out of pure telecom networks. This is one. The second is light touch regulation, which I'm glad to say there is progress on that. Regulations are becoming more user-friendly. Third is policies of the DoT. A very excitable moment has come where the minister himself is saying that the policy letter should be unambiguous and it should be single-page policy letters which cannot be misinterpreted. That has started happening. Mm-hmm. So that will cut down the power of the babu sitting in files and interpreting it. You show me the person, I'll show you the rule. That will go away. Hopefully it will go away. So that should continue. That is something which will continue.
So you, just to interrupt and understand, are you trying to say that the bureaucratic discretionary decision making is affecting?
Is becoming lesser.
Okay.
It's becoming lesser. Right. The third thing is, certain things which the government finds unpleasant and they're trying to brush under the carpet should be addressed head on. And OTT is one prime factor.
Right.
And second example I will say is giving us adequate amount of ammunition to fire it to win the war. And our ammunition is spectrum. In 5G, we require, for example, 2000 megahertz, 2 gigahertz spectrum. We've been able to get only 800 in the last auction. We require 1200 more, 1200 megahertz. And that 1200 is available in the 6 gigahertz space.
Right.
We are demanding that so that we can make up the shortfall and give a consumer experience that we have been talking about. Right. And there are other parties who have extra spectrum lying with them unused. They still want this also.
Absolutely.
So that is something that we want the government to tackle head on and take a decision.
Right.
And the last point I would like to make is perspective planning on the part of the government. We should know for 10 years which spectrum is going to come to us, when is it going to come to us, and how the auction is going to happen. Some work has started on this, but it requires a little more push.
Final question. Indian telecom industry is veering around to a duopoly. That could be a bit of a problem, isn't it, from a consumer's point of view? And the second question is a bit of a related to this, is a bit of a paradox, because as COI, you were saying that OTTs need to pay a price for riding on the infrastructure of telecom, and that needs to be taken head on by the government. But the largest telecom players are also fast emerging as very large OTT players too, how do you handle this?
Let me answer the second and more difficult question first. I'm glad you brought it up, because this is something which is a canard which is being floated by the opposing party.
Mm-hmm.
Our view is very clear that in telecom, what is going to happen is there will be three verticals, sub-verticals which will come up in each TSP. One will be providing of networks. Second one will be providing platforms. And third one will be applications. Right? Now, these will be separate SBUs. If we are saying that the OTT, which carries the brand name of a TSP, is an OTT, they will also have to pay.
Okay.
They may have to pay from one hand to the another hand, but they will have to pay. So the payment schedules and the payment rates will be the same whether it is X OTT or it is Reliance OTT or it is Airtel OTT. Isn't there going to be no difference? We can't afford to. We'll be violating licensing conditions if we do that. So that will happen. Second canard which is being floated, you didn't ask me the question, but I'll answer, is about entrepreneurs and MSMEs suffering. They are like scooters and the cycles which I told you. We don't plan to charge them. We know they are necessary and they require encouragement to grow. We will make sure that they grow. They don't have to pay. They will occupy a minuscule of our bandwidth. So it doesn't matter to us. But what matters to us is the big four or five people who actually ride on us free of cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. In South Korea, earlier the government mandated that this is the rate you will have to pay. If you are occupying more than 1% or 1.8% of the bandwidth of a telco, you will have to pay this rate. OTT will have to pay this rate. It continued for 6 months. They made a lot of halagula. Now, they come to the table. And the SK Telecom and Netflix have negotiated rates among themselves and told the government, you lay off. You've given us the spectrum that you have to pay. We will pay. But how much is to be paid, we'll do it ourselves. So this is something which is encouraging. This is something which is happening.
So you think India is moving towards some kind of a
should
system towards that?
It should. I can't say where they're moving because the consultation paper recommendations are not out from TRAI.
All right.
We really can't say where they're moving. But fortunately, the chairman TRAI was also there when this happened. And he has seen this happening. He has heard people from across the world saying that telcos are folding up because OTT is not paying. Across the world. And the same demand is being echoed everywhere. Why you see more clutter on news channels and in media about OTT? Because they have deep pockets.
Yeah.
We don't have. We can't go around the world every day spending thousands and crores of rupees saying that this is our point of view, this is our point of view. We make our point quietly and we send it to the government. And then canards are spun around it. Recently, if you've seen, there was a news article which said that the operators have gone to TRA and said that you must charge the small players and they will suffer, the entrepreneurs will suffer. Where have we said? We've never said that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you float that as a survey, obviously everybody will say, yes, I support you. I will also say. But the point is, we never said that.
Right.
So it's a false information to gather votes.
Thank you so much, General Kocher, for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you so much.